What a blessing. What a blessing it is to be a child of God. What a blessing it is to be a Christian. There's no better life than the life of Jesus Christ. If you will, turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 5. We will again glance at Awake in the Beatitudes. Here we come across our Savior, our God, the one that died on the cross for all mankind. We see something about Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Here Jesus, being intentional in his discourse, intentional in his teaching, Bible says, and seeing the multitude, verse 1, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. It's interesting, as I was peeking at this earlier, I thought about this word taught. The idea here is intentional instruction. It wasn't accidental that Jesus was sitting down and the multitude, the disciples, come unto him, and he began to teach them teachings. He began to teach them things that were necessary in order for them to get ready for the kingdom that was to come. Foy E. Wallace would say, he would call these Pentecost pointers. He would call these particular teachings, as it relates to the teachings of Jesus Christ, kingdom principles. And that's what they are. They're kingdom principles. They're Pentecost pointers. Because as Jesus is teaching his disciples, the multitude, it is definitely a change of mind. When we consider some of the things that Jesus taught here, the question we have to ask ourselves is this: how did the teachings of Christ during this particular time help the multitude? How did it help the Jews, these Galilean Jews? And how would it help us today? When we consider the church of our Lord, the church of our Lord always has to keep that in mind as it relates to the teachings of Christ. Is the teachings that we teach, are they relevant to the society in which we live in? When we consider Christianity, Christianity must help San Angelo. Christianity must help the home. Christianity must help the workplace. And just as the teachings of Christ aided these individuals during this time, we must take the teachings of Christ and do likewise. The Beatitudes here, as we want to peek at just two on today. Because when we consider the two that I have chosen to look at, I believe that if we were to truly take these particular teachings and be intentional as we are interacting with the world around us, as we are interacting with those on our jobs, in our homes, yea, even those who don't like us. I want us to take a look at verse 7 and also verse 9. The first one I want us to take a look at, and as Jesus is talking about these great principles, if you will, great teachings. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. A few weeks ago, we talked about this particular aspect of mercy. And we looked at mercy and what mercy is. But here, the Bible here says, blessed are the merciful. Jesus is the only one that used this particular word, or this word applied to him alone. I thought that was interesting. In the book of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17, Turn your Bibles there and you'll see this word used again. Again, this word is only used twice. So as Jesus uses this particular word, blessed are the merciful. The merciful. Here in Hebrews chapter 2 in verse number 17, notice what your Bible there has to say. Therefore, in all things, he, talking about the seed of Abraham, the seed of David, Jesus Christ, he had to be made like his brethren in order that he might be a, here's our word, merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God to make propitiation or satisfaction for the sins of the people. Now, this particular word here is attributed to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ uses this word in Matthew chapter 7 and Matthew 5 and verse number 7. And I thought it was interesting that this particular word only used twice ought to grab our attention. That Jesus is merciful. And then Jesus would say, blessed are the merciful. But what does this mean? How can I go and do likewise? When we consider the benefits of this particular word, notice the rest of that verse. For they shall obtain mercy. Those who are merciful will obtain mercy. The word mercy there literally means to help one that is afflicted. To help one who is wretched. When we consider mercy, God is the very source of mercy. Turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus chapter 34. At Exodus chapter 34, verse 5 and 6, a very familiar passage of scripture because I use it often. Here we find that God is identifying himself with Moses. Remember, at this particular time, Moses was going to be having the two tablets of stones. And God was going to be declaring his name unto him. Oh, yes, God has a name. But he just doesn't have one name. Because when you consider the names in Exodus 34, verses 5 and 6, these are the descriptions of Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, of the Father. Notice, now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, notice, merciful. The very source of mercy is saturated in the God of heaven. You cannot obtain mercy unless you go to the source himself. Which means that those who have a desire to obtain mercy must go to the one that offers the mercy. God is the source of all mercy. He's the source of all compassion. He's the source of all clemency, if you will. In other words, God has a desire. Listen, my friends. God has a desire to let people off. Not too many people are like that. Shake a nod. Not too many people are like that. Not too many people have the heart to let people off when they have wronged them. But God is like that. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't it beautiful that God is the very source? He's the wellspring, if you will, of mercy. He looks forward to letting people go. But of course they have to meet the criterion. Of course, they have to meet what God has stated in his word in order to get off. The Bible teaches us in Psalm 119 and verse number 64 that God's mercy fills the earth. But also, when we consider the merciful, look at Micah 6 and verse 8. You'll see something in there that's powerful. That God truly desires his people to love something. That's love mercy. I love mercy. And the reason why I love mercy, because I want people to show me mercy. Love letting people off. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Don't worry about it. It's okay. It's unfortunate. I'm not talking about no one here, because I know you probably don't fit the bill. But it's unfortunate that we live in a world and have always lived in a world that it doesn't matter how much you apologize to certain individuals, they won't let you off. They're not even looking for an opportunity to show compassion. No wonder the divorce rates just, they shoot off the roof. Why? Because people don't want to just show mercy. God is a compassionate God. He's a kind God. And we'll look at some other renderings of this particular word in the Hebrew, chesed. Loving kindness. Goodness. Great goodness. I thought that was interesting. So Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are those who are compassionate. Blessed are those who are kind. Blessed are those who are good. Guess what? You'll get it. You'll get that. The more I thought about this, I thought about our theme for the year, Awake to Righteousness, which is the latter part of the theme. Arise out of sleep. Awake to righteousness. When we consider this word, especially in the Hebrew, I gave you a little bit of it. It's just so rich. The first time I heard the word chesed was at a lectureship. I'm not going to say who it was. But as he was going and he was looking at the different renderings of the Hebrew word chesed, he brought out the richness of this particular word, and I fell in love with that word. And I hope you fall in love with the word chesed. Loving kindness, great goodness, favor, great kindness. Friends, shouldn't we desire that? Shouldn't we desire to be kind? Some people in the world that we live in think that they can be mean to whoever they want to because that's who they are. I think the next time somebody does that, I'm going to say, you know what? You need to stop that foolishness. And if they're old, you're old fool. Why? God wants us to be kind. And if the gospel is going to have any beauty to it, it has to be saturated in mercy. Because God even saves us by his mercy. Titus 3 and verse 4. So Jesus, as he is talking to these individuals, he said, blessed, happy, well off are the merciful. Why? You'll get that. You'll get that. And the world that we live in can use more compassion. Jesus would show compassion and mercy to a woman's daughter who was plagued with an evil spirit. He would show mercy and compassion upon a lunatic. He would show two blind men mercy and compassion. A person who had a death sentence with leprosy. In Luke chapter 17, he showed mercy and compassion. You know, you think about sin. Sin had no remedy until God came up with a plan. We had something that we couldn't get rid of. God says, I'll take care of that. I'm going to send my son. He's going to shed his blood. If you obey him, I'll take care of that leprosy for you. I'll take care of that sin for you. I'll take care of that separation for you. Go to Acts 10. Look at verse 38. And keep in mind what I just stated as it relates to what Jesus went about doing. Healing the daughter of a woman who was plagued with an evil spirit, a lunatic, two blind men, a man with leprosy. No wonder in Acts 10 and verse number 38 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And notice what Jesus did. who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Why? For God was with him. I need to do a better job this year of talking about the miracles of Jesus, establishing faith in this great man of God. We have so many in our world today that say, I don't believe that. That couldn't be true. It is. It's true. It's true because God was working through this great man to heal people from their sin, to heal people from even demon possession. Why? Because God wanted to establish faith in people. Number two, Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the peacemakers. The original would say, blessed are the peace doers. The peace doers. That's interesting. And notice the benefit. For they shall be called sons of God. I put in my Bible, I put reputation there. Bringing two individuals, hear me now, who at one time were close, yet a breach has taken place, a break has taken place, and now they come back together. Reconciliation. There's no way to be reconciled to God unless you had first been with God. No wonder Jesus reconciled us to God, 2 Corinthians 5, 20, 21. He brought us back into a relationship. And this is why when you consider babies who were born into this world, they're born sinless. Yet then some travesty takes place, some decision is made, a sin has been committed, separation from God has taken place. Now the gospel is obeyed, now they have been reconciled. Reconciled. So blessed are the peace doers, the peacemakers. The one who brings peace between hostile people who at one time saw eye to eye. The root word is to set one again, to make peace. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, would use this idea. Bringing up the anointed one, the Messiah, the Savior, the Christ. Notice, at one time when we consider the Jews and the Gentiles, the Jewish nation had not always been a nation. During the time of Abraham, when he came out of the Ur of Chaldees, he was a Gentile. He was never a Jew. And here we have the gospel which reconciled Jew and Gentile together. Notice verse number 11 of Ephesians chapter 2. And I want you to be thinking from a benevolence perspective, an evangelistic perspective, as we bring these passages together. Therefore, remember, verse 11, that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision. Here, the Jews is calling the Gentiles uncircumcision. Made in the flesh by hands, verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. The Gentiles at one time had no hope whatsoever. They didn't have the law. Yet they were still under a law called the patriarchal system. The law of the conscience, if you will. God wasn't okay with the Gentiles just out there living lives of immorality. We can prove that with the book of Jonah. That's not my point. Here it is. Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once were afar off, having been brought near by the blood of Christ. How were those who were the uncircumcised, the Gentiles, brought near to God? through the blood of Christ. Look at verse number 14. For he himself, talking about Christ, listen to this, is our peace, who had made both one. Who did he make one? And has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the hatred, the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, talking about the law of Moses, so as to create in himself, notice, one new man from the two. It's interesting that Jesus was the ultimate peace doer, the ultimate peacemaker, bringing Jews and Gentiles. The Jews would look down on the Gentiles, and the Gentiles didn't like the Jews. And here this great man, God sends this great man to die on the cross for all people, and he brings them together. Notice verse number 16. And that he might reconcile, there's our word, them both to God in one body. Colossians 1 and verse number 18, the body is the church. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 13, for by one spirit you're all baptized into one body. Romans 16 and verse 16, salute one another with the holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. You get that? You put that all together. Here, God reconciled them in one body, in one church, the church of Christ. How? Through the cross. Thereby putting to death the hatred. He slew it. And notice what he goes on to say. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one spirit, talking about Christ, to the Father. Now I want to make this quick point. How did God bring peace between the Jews and the Gentiles in the first century? He created the church. The cross, Brother Royce. The cross created the church. The church is a product of the truth. The church is a product of the church. No, of the cross. There it is. We stop and we consider this. Jesus is the ultimate peace doer. So what is our responsibility? Is to take that same message of the cross and go out and tell people that, you know what, you don't have to be hostile against God. You can live a life of righteousness and morality and then be morally regenerated. And as we're taking the gospel to the world, they're learning that they can actually have peace with God. Not a pseudo peace, not a fake peace, but a real peace. I'm not talking about the P-I-E-C-E, but the P-E-A-C-E. You know, we like to make peace, P-E-P-I-E-C-E, with our peace, P-I-E-C-E. Y'all get it? I'm going to take my peace out and make peace. But the peace, P-E-A-C-E, is the one that we ought to be using, and that's Jesus Christ. We consider that. The gospel is God's power to save man. So Jesus, what did you do? I brought peace between two hostile nations, Jew and Gentile. And now, today, we get to benefit. You know, we're benefiting today because of that. It's interesting, because of the peace of Jesus Christ, you can have different ethnic groups in one building worshiping the God of heaven. Oh, Jesus didn't use the P-I-E-C-E, but the P-E-A-C-E. The Jesus peace. And that's what we go out and we teach people. We teach them about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And you know, when we go out there and we teach people and we're benevolent unto people, we do good to people, we're actually peace doers. We're trying to bring peace between people and God. And so, what an excellent time today to be a Christian. What an excellent time today in the United States of America to be a child of God, where there's so much chaos and unrest, and people are so confused when it comes to just life in general. I'm not talking about religion only, I'm talking about just life. And so here we come, and we're a benevolent people, and we're an evangelistic people, and we're an edifying people. And people say, man, there's something different about you. You got a different disposition, a different attitude. You know what? Just trying to bring peace. There's enough chaos. So here we come with the gospel. Here we come with good news. Here we come with good works. And so Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. Here's the reputation. They shall be called sons of God. That's the reputation. You want a good reputation? Bring peace. P-E-A-C-E. Bring peace. Take the gospel to people. Make people's lives better. Sit down with them and talk to them about life, and talk to them about the gospel, and talk to them about things that's going to help them to be a better people. Bring peace. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. I'll leave you with this. Not only should we bring peace, but in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 14, we ought to be champions of peace. We ought to be ones who are chasing after peace. Notice what the Hebrews writer says. Pursue peace with all men and holiness. Notice the end of this passage. Without which no one will see the Lord. That's a striking verse. Question. How much peace are you pursuing? How much peace do we supposed to pursue? God wants us to be peace doers, looking for opportunities to bring tranquility, to bring quietness, to bring rest to the people that we come in contact with. And Christians ought to do that. So as Christians, we ought to be some of the best husbands and wives, because we're peace doers, best sons and daughters, best brothers and sisters in Christ. We got a lot of work to do sometimes, right? Because sometimes we're not at peace with ourselves, so it's hard to be at peace with others. That's one thing I love about Jesus. And the more I study about him and his mindset, this man was at peace. And when people are not at peace, they're all over the place. But when a person is at peace, his life is or her life is upon the rock. So they're calm. They think things through. Don Cheek said something one time that I appreciate, Don. You said, when you're emotional, it's hard to see God. But when you're logical, you see him clearly. Just think about that. No wonder God wants us to be as even keeled as possible, so that we can think things through. Now, take this home. You're trying to strike the right balance as a peace doer. And people who are shaky and sifting in life and shifty, they interact with you over a period of time. They want to interact with you because they want that stability. Question. Doesn't he teach us how to be that? Let's do that. Let's be peace doers. Be peacemakers. Proper prayer life. Study the Word of God. Environment. I guarantee you, you'll be the peacemaker that God wants you to be. But for those who don't want to be peacemakers, now I'm talking to us. and you realize that someone, even in our midst, don't want to be a peacemaker, you stay away from those people. Why? Because they'll cause you not to be at peace. Let's be careful, even with those who are on the outside. Be careful. Watch your influences. Watch those who you spend a lot of time with. And at 47, the other day, I'm just at an age, I ain't putting up with all that. Too old for that. My life is half over. Guess what? We're not promised tomorrow. Let's be peacemakers. Let's be part of the solution, not part of the problem. The problem we have in the world is people are lost in their sins. The solution is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the solution. Maybe you're not a child of God, meaning you're not a Christian. You're not a member of the Church of Christ. You haven't been baptized into Christ. You haven't had your sins washed away. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. That's why we have the gospel. Nothing to be ashamed about per se. That's why we have preaching. That's why we have teaching. So we can raise those who have honest and good hearts to the watery grave of baptism to have their sins washed away. If a man won't preach the gospel, he need to get out the pulpit. If he don't preach the truth, he ain't preaching nothing. So we preach the gospel. Maybe you're a child of God, you're not a child of God. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. That's a change of mind which leads to a change of life in view of salvation. In view of salvation. Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins where you come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. God will add you to the Church of Christ. You live faithfully even to the point of death. And he'll give you the crown of life. Just like that. But maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been a peacemaker. As a matter of fact, I'm going to leave that alone. Because I don't want y'all looking at me funny for saying that. But you're the opposite. I'm going to use the words of Michael Light. Stop that. Don't do that. Let's be at peace. Let's be a people of tranquility, quietness. Let's help one another get to heaven as we stand.